The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you're with us on the start of a new week. The dawn of a new era. Welcome to this Monday afternoon edition. This MLK Day edition of The Dory Monson Show. All right, I'm going to give you some bonus material here because I have to react to some of the stuff I heard in the newscast, both national and local. Let's start with national. So we'll talk about this later in the show, but the Muslim extremist who took four Jewish people hostage in a synagogue demanding the release of a convicted Islamic terrorist. And then Joe Biden over the week, we don't know what his motives were. I'm guessing Joe actually didn't know. He was the only person in America. This guy had been in prison for 10 years, and he somehow can just fly into the United States and then go stay at a homeless shelter, and nothing happens. But be ready for more stuff like this as we let 2 million illegal aliens come across our southern border last year. And law enforcement has already warned us that many of them have terror ties. So we're going to continue. And by the way, do you really think that the Biden administration would let 2 million untested, unvaccinated people across the southern border if the COVID concerns were as real as they say they are? But that's an aside. Okay, so that's that one. And then this is insane about Novak Djokovic. Number one tennis player in the world. He got kicked out of Australia. The Australian Open tennis tournament began yesterday, and Monday in Australia, but Sunday our time. And then they just said that France passed a law because Djokovic, who is one of the most fit, one of the most healthy young people in the world, he's unvaccinated because his body is everything to him, as mine is to me. But his body's everything to him, and he says, I'm fine. I don't need this. And for that, he gets kicked out of Australia for 3 years, and now they say he may not be able to play in the French Open. This is a guy who, his next Grand Slam, he'll become the winningest Grand Slam man in tennis history. He's tied right now, I believe, with Federer and Nadal. And he's not going to have a chance in Australia, and now it looks like he's not going to have a chance in France because he has chosen to take domain over his body. It's just
he also just had COVID a month ago.
Yes, and he's immunized.
You wouldn't
by
even have
natural
to get,
immunities.
Yeah, yeah. For going to Hawaii, if you've had COVID and you have a positive test within the last 3 months, you don't even have to get tested to go.
Right.
And they're kicking him out of the country.
It's just absolutely insane. And then one other thing from the local news that Aaron was talking about. So, as you know, Jay Inslee, he wants to make lying by politicians a crime punishable by up to a year in prison. Why does he want to do this?
It's yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Okay. Now, Jay Inslee was a lawyer. And the most dopey of lawyers knows that it's not illegal to yell fire in a crowded movie theater. I've explained this a million times. That was said by Oliver Wendell Holmes in the Supreme Court 100 years ago. It was about a socialist who was passing out pamphlets. And in a horrible Supreme Court decision, they were talking about whether we should preemptively stifle free speech. And that's when Oliver Wendell Holmes used the fire in a theater analogy in conversation. But 60 years ago, the Supreme Court came back and said, yeah, it's not illegal to yell fire in a theater. So the dopiest of lawyers knows that. They learn it in Lawyer 101, their freshman year of lawyer school. Whatever that, I don't know what that is. But that's why Jay Inslee wants to make lying about elections illegal.
So I believe it will be constitutional because we understand that this speech is the type of speech that can promote violence.
It is not going to be constitutional. You cannot preemptively abridge our speech as its basic a First Amendment violation as possible. But I think we should all make a deal with Jay Inslee. If we can put people, politicians, in prison for lying about elections, if he will agree to make all political lies illegal, then maybe we can strike a deal.
You've said you would not raise taxes. Do you pledge to my listeners that as governor, you will not raise taxes or support tax increases in this state?
My plan is very specific. It does not propose or support tax increases in general taxes.
If Jay Inslee wants to put somebody in jail for a year for lying about elections, then he's going to get life without the possibility of parole for that one. Because he's raised taxes, signed off on $20 billion in tax hikes since he uttered that lie. So yes, Governor, if we're going to make lying by politicians illegal, I'll support it the day you turn yourself in to Walla Walla. And we get you locked up for your egregious lie that costs the people of this state an absolute fortune. Okay, that's all a prelude. That's all bonus material. Because I do have another story that was in the newscast that I was planning to make our big lead.
The big lead, top story.
And what should we do about this garbage strike? Because for an awful lot of us in our household, we have not had any pickup since before Christmas. And the thing about that is there was a lot of stuff at Christmas time that needed picking up. I'm telling you, you got all the wrapping paper, you got all the storage materials that the gifts came in. Our next door neighbors, they were texting us yesterday and they said, hey, what are you guys going to do? They have a 1-year-old. You know how many diapers a 1-year-old can crank out in 3 weeks of no garbage pickup? A lot. And so we got that. And here's the kicker to all of this. You know, they said that you can bring it. They're going to set up some garbage drop off locations. Why in the world should we have to? I mean, I don't have a pickup anymore. I need a pickup. Everybody should have a pickup. But I don't want to put garbage in the back of our SUV, stinking up the vehicle. And then we find out that we're going to get paid or we're going to get charged for every week that Republic Services has not been picking up our garbage. We're not going to get a discount for the weeks of no service. And their rap is, well, we'll pick up double when we finally resume. That was after the snow and the ice. And now after the strike in San Diego, they say, well, we'll pick up triple when we resume. And first of all, I am not sending in an entire bill. I'm going to prorate it. I'm going to send it in, and then we'll see what happens. But the cities are already telling customers, now our deal with them is you got to pay them whether they pick up or not. To which I reply, is Tony Soprano still running Waste Management? That was his operation. He was in Waste Management and Pickup. And I'm not talking about the company Waste Management. But, is this a Tony Soprano deal? That we got to pay them when they aren't working? I mean, it's pretty typical here in our state where we pay a lot of people for not working, but that's government using our tax dollars to do it. It's a little tougher when they ask me to do a little electronic check transfer to pay somebody who hasn't been working. Now, I was looking in the comment stories of some newspapers, and a lot of people said, hey, if I'm going to drop off my trash, I'm going to drop it off at either Republic Services office or the Teamsters office. I am not advocating that. A lot of people say that that's what they are planning to do. Instead of going to some dump to drop off, if you got to get in your car with your garbage, what a date that is. If you have to get in the car with the garbage, why go to the dump if there are other places more directly responsible for all of this? Cairo 7, our news partners, they talked about the stench that is building all around the region. And, you know, it was tough to make our region more garbage-filled than what it's been the last few years, but they're doing it.
It looks trashy.
In West Seattle, recycling is piled high.
I put it out on the curb 2 weeks ago so that it could be picked up, and I've been keeping it in my house.
Viewer video from Sammamish shows more of the same weeks' worth of buildup. And in Kent?
The Wednesday before Christmas was the last time we had a pickup.
Yep, you were the same. And then, you know, in the hopes, because we didn't know about this last week, we got a letter, said 2 weeks ago they weren't coming. So Thursday night, my wife and I dragged 7 cans, recycled garbage, yard waste. We dragged them all up to the street. Nothing picked up on Friday. Friday evening, drag them all back where they're out of sight. And it's, I'm tired of it. But you know why this is happening? It has nothing to do with you or me. There is a garbage worker strike in San Diego with Republic Services. And because of that, the workers up here say, well, we're going to strike in solidarity with our brothers in San Diego. Why our local government allows this when they enter into a contract? It is illegal for public employees to strike. It's illegal for police officers or firefighters. It's illegal, believe it or not, for school teachers to strike, even though they do it every single year on a rotating basis to extort more money from taxpayers. But it's illegal. Why do our local governments enter into contracts that allow these strikes and then allow the company to keep billing us when they don't work? When they don't do their job. We've been trying to get anybody on from government, but everybody's off today because it's MLK Day. And so I'll pursue that more tomorrow. But what an absolute clown show this continues to be.
What are you bringing anyway?
Just some trash and junk in my car.
I'm very grateful that they're doing this, actually. We have 2 kids at home, and we have a lot of boxes to recycle.
Hopefully it won't go on for long. Because it's a weekly kind of a thing, and the trash keeps piling.
And then you always have the people who say, oh, no, 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 this is cool. I don't mind.
Good for them.
You're in support of the union?
Heck yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Very good. And you don't mind this?
It's not even an inconvenience. I'm heated, driving, listening to a podcast. Nothing to complain about.
So that guy put trash in his car, drove to a long line trash drop-off, and he says, good for them. Good for them for messing with us. That's a bizarre mindset. I can understand it a little more if it was a local labor dispute, but this is in San Diego. So what are you going to do about all this? I know people, a friend of ours, has a pickup and has contacted a bunch of our friends and said, hey, going to make a run to the dump. If you guys want to drop some stuff in the back of the pickup, let me know. And so we've got these, you know, co-ops now, neighborhood co-ops that are forming to take care of the massive trash. You know, I survived COVID so far. I survived the Seattle tsunami of 2022. How about that tsunami? So, Nicole, did you get those emergency warnings on your phone?
No, I didn't. I must be too far away from the coast.
No, you're, well, no.
I don't know how it could tell. I didn't get them.
Really? I'm surprised.
No, I woke up and I saw all of the news alerts, but I didn't get the actual warning message.
Yeah, I got the emergency warning, and your phone, it screeches something hideous when that emergency warning goes out. And I have to admit, I wasn't that way. You know, first of all, it's a little scary when you see a tsunami warning for, you know, Snohomish County. You live in Snohomish County. How did you not get this warning?
Maybe I did, and it just didn't even wake me up.
Man. Yeah, I heard it. I think I was asleep when I got the first one. But yeah, there was an earthquake in Tonga. Did you see the satellite images of that? Not an earthquake. It was a volcano eruption.
It was a volcano, yeah.
Undersea. Did you see those satellite photos?
Yeah, that's really cool. I hope that everybody's okay, but it's really cool, those pictures. It's amazing technology that we have.
Unbelievable, the photos from outer space of planet Earth, and you see this incredible ripple just shoot up out of the ocean where this volcano blew. And
we just always forget about all those volcanoes that are in the ocean.
And I'm fat. For somebody who's never really seen a volcano, I've never seen a lava flow. I wanted to. When we were on the big island of Hawaii, I decided one of my lifetime goals was to see a lava flow where the, you know, molten lava is going by your feet. And so I found, I talked to some locals, and they said, yeah, if you go to the end of this road, and we were at Volcanoes National Park during the day, and it was about 2.5 hours from where our hotel was. Because the Big Island, I don't know if people realize this, but the Big Island, it's big. So where our hotel was, we were 2.5 hours from Volcanoes National Park. So we went there and did a ranger walk, and it was very, very cool. And then they have this huge outdoor natural swimming pool that's about 95 degrees that's heat, and I mean it's like 50 yards by 50 yards, but you have to drive a half hour down a winding road to the ocean to get to it. So we went there at dusk, and there were only about 12 locals and then my family of five in this gigantic outdoor geothermal swimming pool that it fed into the ocean there. And then we talked to some locals. They said, yeah, if you go to the end of this road, it stops. It was a coastal highway that was covered up by a lava flow a few years ago. And they said, but from there, you can see the lava. And I thought, well, that's what I want to do. And so we're driving this coastal road, and then you have to stop where the lava flow covers it. So we parked. And so now it's 11 o'clock at night. We're still 3 hours from our hotel because it's half hour down this windy road through Scream Alley, the loudest birds I've ever heard in my life, in the trees driving down to the ocean on the Big Island. And we get down to the end of the road, and there were like three other cars there. And I go, where's the lava? And they point, and it's... It was about 2 miles in the distance, and we saw just a teeny tiny sliver of orange in the sheer blackness of night, and that was where the lava was flowing into the ocean. But it was the biggest letdown, and my girls were exhausted. They were a little car sick from how windy this road was, and then they realized that we went down there to see a little sliver of red 2 miles away. But I need to go. What's that?
I think it's still the same. I just went there this year or last year, and I think it's still the same, just a little glow. We didn't end up going all the way because people said, you can't get very close right now. It's just a little glow. We were warned.
Yeah. I said, well, let's walk to it. And my wife said, no, we were just in Volcanoes, and the ranger said that the lava crust can be very thin, and if you step in the wrong place, you can crack, you can fall through. You don't know if there's a huge hole or crevasse underneath it.
And it was the middle of the night.
It was midnight by that point. But I really wanted to see lava. There's a spectacular volcano and lava flow right now in Central America. So I was looking at pictures of that. All right, I digress. Yeah. Okay, let me take a time out. I didn't mean to digress on all this stuff. This is kind of a holiday mentality that we're bringing you today. Okay, quick time out. Check the news for you. Then we're going to continue with the big lead. It was another very, very violent weekend around here. And our politicians are doing everything to encourage that. Details coming up as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Well, since I digressed on tangents in our opening segment, let's continue with our big lead.
The big lead, big local.
It's been another very violent week and weekend in our region. And last week we told you about a guy, 54 years old, who was shot and murdered outside of a convenience store down in Renton. They now have the suspect in custody. It is a 14-year-old child. Channel 4, ComoNews.com, they talked to a salon owner who heard the deadly gunfire.
Boom, 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 boom. I have no idea what it in his mind. This kid, pray for him.
So it was a drive-by shooting. Remember, that's the kind of shooting where two Washington State Democratic legislators want to reduce the penalty for drive-by shooting murders. Makes good sense. So this was a drive-by. Somebody saw the SUV, and they were able to find the 14-year-old the next day. And it turns out, once they caught this 14-year-old kid, they also charged the same 14-year-old with another murder that occurred last year. We're still waiting to get details on that.
These days, young kids grew up a lot faster than the ones before, like our generation.
Yeah, a 14-year-old accused double murder is what we're looking at right now. And I've told you what's going on here, that there is a drug war, there is a gang war that is going on because of the drugs. And according to my law enforcement sources, you've heard them on the show, people like Robert Hammer and others, they have told us that the gangs are recruiting specifically 14 and 15-year-olds to sell drugs and to carry out hits. And why? Well, because they know that Dow Constantine and Jay Inslee, they don't want to see children who commit murder punished. They believe that they should just get a little slap on the wrist. But they said that this 14-year-old could be charged as an adult.
And because of the seriousness of these two incidents, prosecutors say he could still be charged as an adult. Police say this 14-year-old is from Burien. Some of his family members showed up in court today, but they did not want to talk about the allegations.
Okay, question. 14-year-old might be charged as an adult because of the seriousness of the allegations. Remember the 15-year-old girl who was driving a stolen car and bumped a jogger at 6 a.m. on a Sunday last summer and killed the man? And the very same prosecutor's office, King County, Dan Satterberg, they charged that 15-year-old as a child. Why? Well, because she didn't understand the severity of her actions. She didn't know that a 2-ton car hitting a 150-pound jogger at 60 miles an hour might be deadly. So she gets charged as a juvenile, but the 14-year-old is going to possibly be charged as an adult. I'm saying that the 15-year-old girl should have been charged as an adult, too. She killed a man. But this is the kind of randomness that goes with this, you know, no youth jail, and let's get them back out on the streets as quickly as possible. So that's the 14-year-old accused double murder. And then in Des Moines over the weekend, a 14-year-old was shot. And in that incident, there was a 14-year-old kid had a confrontation with somebody. He got shot in the abdomen, and they're trying to find a suspect in the Des Moines shooting. Last night in Seattle, a murder in the Central District. They caught a suspect in that one, but this has just been in the last few days where we have a 14-year-old murder, a 14-year-old shot, a murder in the CD. Dow Constantine, what are you doing about all of these shootings in King County?
We're improving public safety and public trust by investing in gun violence prevention.
Oh, I forgot. Forgive me for even questioning the efficacy of you, Dow Constantine. K King County executive. They're doing such a great job with gun safety here in King County. There's only one problem with what Dow Constein just said there. There was yet another big story yesterday about all the gun violence in 2021. All-time record for gun murders in King County. All-time record for number of shootings. All-time record for number of shots fired. And what I found amazing in the Seattle Times story is all of the politicians, like Police Chief Adrian Diaz, he says he sees no single cause for the recent surge in gun violence. But then they always come back to the same thing. You know why they say this is happening? Because of the pandemic. And if we have politicians who are willing to lie to that extent to try to excuse the violence that they have created in this region, here's the quote in the Seattle Times from Seattle Police Chief Adrian Diaz. We're seeing upticks in every aspect of this. It's not just one specific thing. You're wondering, is it related to COVID? Is it because you almost have to re-socialize everybody together? We have to almost realize that people have so much angst and so much anxiety, and if they have access to a gun, they're willing to pick it up and use it? I don't mean to laugh, but that's one of the stupidest quotes I've ever seen. It's because the gangs are selling drugs, because our southern border is open, and heroin and meth and fentanyl are flowing into King County, and the gangs are recruiting children to sell it because we don't go tough on it. And then Dan Satterberg, quote, in the Seattle Times, today, I don't think it's drugs. Today, I can't help but think it's related to the pandemic. The anxiety and depression and fear. Isn't that interesting? Dan Satterberg is the one who legalized drugs in King County. Then we see record murders. And when he legalized it, he came on our show to tell me why he was doing one of the stupidest things I've ever seen an elected official do. And he came on and he said, no, this is actually going to make things better. And his question to me was, do you think what we were doing has been working? And I said, well, it's been working a lot better than the chaos that's going to come out of having legalized drugs. And now, after he legalizes drugs, and people like me said this is going to be a hellscape after you legalize drugs, and then it turns into a hellscape, and then Dan Satterberg says in the Seattle Times, I don't think it's drugs. Today, I can't help but think it's related to the pandemic, the anxiety and depression and fear. And all of that somehow makes people's tempers shorter. I'm sure that 14-year-old kid, if he did murder the guy outside the convenience store in Renton, I'm positive that it was just because he was itchy to get away from remote learning. Unbelievable. And you know, Adrian Diaz, Dan Satterberg, if you're not willing to speak honestly about the problems that you've created, then the problems are never going to get solved. I will continue to speak honestly about the problems they've created. Okay, quick time out. Then we've got a lot of other news to cover here as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. So along with all of this record gun violence in Dow Constantine's King County,
we're improving public safety and public trust by investing in gun violence.
Yeah, well, the investment's paying off because you're getting a lot more of what you're investing in. So to react to all of that, we have Bruce Harrell, the new mayor of Seattle, who I really hope that he can do something about the mess that Seattle's turned into. But there are some things coming down that are not very encouraging. There's another big story yesterday in the Seattle Times. Gun control, transportation, housing among Seattle leaders' wish list for state legislature. And in this story, Bruce Harrell's niece, who's deputy mayor, Monisha Harrell, she was talking about how they want to have more gun control laws in Seattle. And in particular, she said that we should not allow guns in the parks where our children play. Seattle tried this about a decade ago. They banned, it was Mike McGinn. They banned guns in city parks. And people like me said, well, that is absolutely against the Washington State Constitution. And they said, we're going to do it anyway. And then even our far left Supreme Court said, no, you cannot violate that blatantly, the Washington State Constitution. But now they're going to make another run at it. They're going to try again in the city of Seattle to do an unconstitutional gun ban. And they say, well, in the parks where our children play. Our children haven't played in the parks since you gave the parks to heroin and meth addicts. I mean, come on, we've been shutting down all of our parks that have been taken over. We can't have cross-country meets on one of the great trails in the country at Lower Woodland because of all the heroin needles and homeless people. Had to shut down the tens of millions of dollars that had been spent at Ballard Commons putting in a splash park for 100-degree summer days for the kids. Had to shut that down because it was completely taken over by heroin and meth addicts. And now you have the, you know, Monisha Harrell say, well, we've got to give our parks back to the children, not have people with guns. The solution is to lock up criminals, not to take guns away from law-abiding people. There are an awful lot of people, more than most people will ever know, who conceal carry legally because they don't want to be attacked by a heroin and meth addict in downtown Seattle. And they would rather legally exercise their constitutional right to protect themselves instead of being a victim, getting smashed over the head, and then hope that they don't have traumatic brain injury or are killed. And the police, they're not able to respond with any sort of timeliness. So the solution from the Bruce Harrell administration is, well, let's disarm all the law-abiding gun owners. Instead of, let's clean up crime and let's get guns out of the hands of criminals. But then you turn to Jay Inslee, who released hundreds of felons from the state prison who were in prison for gun violations. And why? Well, it was because of COVID, they said. But it was truly because they want to criminalize our streets as much as possible. They said, well, we have a disproportionate number of minorities in prison for gun crime, so we'll just let them out. And again, instead of addressing the root cause of that, which is, you know, the destruction of the family and the absence of fathers. But that's too difficult. So instead it is, well, we feel bad that that's happening, so we'll just let them all out of prison. So they let felons who have committed their felonies with guns, they're letting them out of prison, but they're saying they want to pass laws to restrict law-abiding, constitutionally protected gun carriers. And this is the kind of insanity that, you know, the people who think correctly have to deal with. Because we got some madness that continues to run this region and refuses to deal honestly with the problems that we are all facing as a region. Okay, let me take a quick time out here, and then we're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour. In the big, or in the fastest 15 that we have coming up, students and teachers are off today for the Martin Luther King holiday. Now, that's different from the other days when they're off because they don't feel like teaching. Like Friday, another teacher sick out on Friday. How convenient that they got a four-day weekend with their sickness. Tell you all about that. The Dory Monson Show rolls on.